It's like there's day in here. Like it didn't.
Hello, and thank you for listening to your favorite podcast. Yeah. This is the this is the Maximum Filipino Show. We are we're back doing this podcast. This is we're a little late, maybe like a day or two, depending. I don't know when this is gonna be uploaded, but we're doing After Flicks. After Flicks is the shows and reviews. Reviews of the shows and movies from your favorite subscribe apps such as Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and things like that. Lately, we have only been doing Disney.
Yeah, and not just any show. We did originals, right?
Yeah, just originals. We did one Netflix original that was. We haven't even uploaded that one. We did Project Adam. But yeah, we have been doing that. I don't know when that's gonna be uploaded. Hopefully soon. But yeah, tonight or right now we're doing. It's a second episode or part two of the continuation. That's a lot of redundancy. It's a continuation of the Moon Knight series, a Disney Plus original show. This is episode two. And we're gonna talk about it. If you haven't seen Moon Knight and you care about the spoilers, you probably shouldn't watch this. But if you don't care the spoilers or you've already seen it, come and join us and let's talk about this show. We just watched it. This is like our second or slash kind of third time watching the show. Yeah, it's third time watching the show. So Waka should be prepared.
Yeah, after this third one, I think I'm prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, so the show got unraveled a lot more, more than the first episode. So we got a chance to see more of the man in the suit and Mark Spector. Right. Apparently, that's his full name. We got to see more of the. It's not Kenosha. Kenosha is not the name.
Khonshu.
Yeah, Khonshu.
Khonshu.
Yep. So what do you think?
They revealed a lot quicker than on this episode too. Like Loki, the other originals from Disney, they tend to drag the story up till it gets to the peak. But this one, I'm not saying that it did. It unraveled really a lot more in this one episode. That said, there was some things in this episode didn't.
But you also got to remember, this one has 50-minute episode.
Oh, true. You're right. That this one was one of their longer episodes.
Yeah.
Not their longest, but it was a long episode. But I just think the reason why it was long because they. On to segue that, I felt like there were certain scenes in this episode that didn't feel right or yet used to or comfortable, because I'm comparing and contrast with Hollywood type scenes versus this.
And what do you mean about Hollywood type scenes?
The way they the way they transition from clip to clip, I feel like there's some unnecessary scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Or some scenes that seem okay, like the quality of the scenes, like starting from when he put the two DC cops, I don't know what DC means, DC officers that came to pick up Steven from the clip where he put his hand to the mirror, the rear mirror. I felt like that's where things started to felt lazy. Like, I don't know if the tattoo is supposed to be anywhere on your forearm. Because initially, with Arthur, the nemesis right now, or the enemy, he has it here.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing some who has it, you can see the graphics badly.
Yeah, I don't think it matters where it's going to be.
What I'm saying you're right, it doesn't really matter, but you can tell that they just stamped it.
Yeah, well, because the scene with the mirror, the importance of that scene is just to show that the guy has a tattoo. That's about it.
No, that's right. What I'm saying, that it didn't seem seamless. It was obvious that someone did bad graphics on just putting it. Hey, he's an enemy. It doesn't fit well in the skin. Mm. Just like the other girl that had the the ball, and it's all the way up here.
Yeah,
it didn't like.
It actually makes me think that it's not a tattoo, though. That's my thing. Because remember his Arthur's tattoo moves, like turns to a different color. So it makes me think that it's not a tattoo. Mm. It make me think that it's more like a magical mark.
Okay, that would make sense.
You know what I mean? Like the magical, like a mark of the beast kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, from that scene on, I feel like there's some unnecessary scenes. Or the way how they did the scene, and I'm not trying to put Disney down. And the reason why I say it's different from Hollywood quality versus this, I feel like either a high school or college degree student made this episode with high quality equipment, just didn't really maximize what they did for this episode. I don't know, that's just how I feel. I mean, like, I think it's just an unspoken feeling for me that I can tell the difference how this and that looks for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
I actually think that they're making the whole camera stuff, and this is why you probably think it was low budget, because I don't know if you noticed, the camera shakes a lot, and you will notice especially when he's talking to Arthur or he's by himself and things like that, you will see the camera is just jiggling a lot. It's like someone's holding the camera,
right,
with their hands, you know, like a handycam, exactly. instead of a tripod or instead of the gimbal and things like that. It's like it's not steady. Like you could see it in there. You will see like some of the parts of their head that it's missing, and then go back, and it's like it's really like jittery. And they make that seem like, because you usually see that in a lot of horror movies.
Right.
That means something intense is about to happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the, like when someone is walking in the dark, let's say, and then you will see that camera effects where it's jiggling.
It's shaking.
That means like, oh, someone's gonna attack this person, or they're gonna get hit by a car, mm-hmm. or something. So for the most part, if you pay attention to that episode alone, they have a lot of those. It's
right.
That's probably why you think that it's a low budget, because of that. And I'm pretty sure they did that intentionally to make it seem like this whole thing for Steven is not a real thing, you know, because it became steady when Mark showed up. When Mark Spector showed up, the whole scene just when steadied.
Okay, yeah. It could be. Maybe it's just, it could be that they intentionally did the whole shaky thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I feel a little off of it this one, but it just didn't fit right, I guess. I don't know how to explain it, but it just doesn't fit right. Either some of the episode, the scenes were just draggy.
You're probably not used to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know how to put it in words. It says maybe it's a unique style of how they did this scene or how they did this episode. And it's just I'm not used to it. Or they just kept dragging certain scenes to maximize the length of the episode, because it was 56 minutes.
Yeah. What are the parts? Because to me, I actually didn't think it was draggy. I actually think a lot of their scenes that it seems like drag, like the conversation between him and Arthur, kind of you could think that it is draggy, but to me it's like there's a lot of information in there.
No. Okay, what I mean draggy is like that I think they're trying to build the suspense. It's like, okay, I get it. Just get to it.
Yeah.
There's no need to wait for it. We get it. Something's about to happen. I don't know. I watched it the third time and I thought I might be able to explain it well, but
yeah. I'm terrible at explaining. Which parts do you think it was draggy?
I'm trying to remember. Let's see. Dang, I thought I would remember it, but I don't. Maybe not draggy. Okay, maybe it's not draggy. It's just that I felt like it was low quality, as you said, low budget, from the clip to the tattoo guy all the way up to where... when Mark comes into the picture, or when Mark, after Mark transforms back to away from the suit, where he's arguing with Steven inside the mirror. I just felt from that clip to this clip, in between, it wasn't great. Like, for example, okay, so you know how he I saw it. It kept bothering me. I thought it was a piece of trash that was floating down or something, because I kept going back and forth with the clip. So if you happen to go back on the clip where the jackal breaks through the door, where his wife, Layla, tried to tell him, change the suit.
Yeah.
So when you see when he breaks through the door, the clip, there's nothing. When you're looking at it, when it hit the clip where he's, you see he breaks through the door, you see him black and white. But when you see it from, they changed the point of view from Layla when she's looking at the door. She's like, what, jackal, what are you looking at? But I look at the bottom of the screen, there's this like black thing, and I thought it could be a the piece of paper that was covering the items that's just kind of starting to float down. But I looked it back and forth from the scene clip before and the clip after. I think there was a mistake of the graphics there, and they just minded to have it there. I don't know, I might be wrong. You just need to check it out and see what I mean. There's that. And when people was walking back, the moment that he grabbed the cane,
mm-hmm.
I thought maybe they just, like, it was a switch on and off. Because normally when you see that, the power coming from the cane, when he grabbed it, it was laying on the table. There was nothing, no light, no nothing. But the moment he had in his hand, or when the clip changed, when it moved into the picture, then there was purple eyes, purple light.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, normally in other movies or Hollywood type movies, in this fantasy like or magic like movies, when you grab it, some you'll see the progression changing it from nothing, lighting up to something. But it wasn't like that. It was just on, I mean off, on.
Yeah.
Okay, and two, when people were walking back from that moment, I thought they were just backing up because, oh, something crazy was about to happen. Or I was like, oh, this guy's gonna let loose. And I think the guy that was going back, I think it wasn't part of the clip or part of the sound of the movie, but they just left it on as a sound effect where he hit the chair.
Mm-hmm. That part, I thought about that. So that part, I think it was intentionally to be there because if you notice, their microphones, right? The way they do their recordings, they usually have a mounted microphone to the whoever is speaking. Now, if the vocal is not clear, they dub it. They do a dubbing. So that part of the... It's so distinctive, though. Like, the sound was so distinctive that they... It's either they enhanced the sound or they added it, or they just didn't remove it. You know what I mean? Because in post-production, you can remove those kind of audios, right? The reason why they left it there, because... And this is what I felt like, why are they backing up? Because I thought about that the first time I watched it. Why are they backing up? Why are they so scared about? So I thought about this. I think it's two things. First is because every time Arthur got the staff or the cane, and it might just be glowing or things like that, it's either actually three things. It's either first he's going to shoot something and they don't want to get hit, you know, because Steven was right in front of the crowd. Second, because he used it to summon jackals, and when he summoned jackals, there's a huge hole in the ground, so they want to back up, you know, and things like that. And third, when he touches people while he's holding the staff, they die. You know what I mean? If they're not worthy or they're evil in the future and things like that. So they don't want to get involved. They don't want to touch them and that's like their sign of like, yep, it's okay. Time to back up, because if we don't, we can get that, you know, we can get killed. So that part when he hit the chair, that's like for him, it's like, yep, I don't want to be involved in here.
That makes sense.
you know.
So you caught that too.
The whole Yeah. Because I always like it. Actually, remind me of Encanto when Luisa was singing, and then the donkeys backed up, and then you know Mirabelle's like, "What are you guys doing?" yeah, that actually what it reminded me. But yeah, so that scene, I think it's intentional. Mm. You might think that that there are some parts that are draggy. I actually didn't think it was draggy, and we had this conversation before about TV shows and you know the way Disney or anything that it could have been a movie, because the way it's like, oh, it's too short, there's some unnecessary stuff. And I tried to think and be critical about what are some things, like I was intentionally trying to look for mistakes or draggy part in the movie and in the show or in the episode. Okay. I was like, I couldn't find any, because even the part where what do you call this, in when he was riding with his wife, right? On the scooter, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of good information there. Like first he found out that that's his wife, you know what I mean? Right. And he's tracking she's tracking his phone and all that. And then I went to from there to talk with Arthur. I'm like, huh, that there's a lot of important stuff there too, because Arthur like legitimately saying the same thing
Khonshu.
Yeah, Khonshu was saying like exactly almost exact same thing. It's like, huh, that giving you a little bit of a, you know, an understanding of what's going on. And then the argument between Kevin and Mark, that could have been a draggy part too, but it's like Steven gave us more information on what it feels like being not being in his own body, you know what I mean? Okay. It's like he's like in this Pokeball, but it's so uncomfortable. So I was like intentionally trying to look for something that could have been draggy, but I couldn't.
Okay,
maybe like I said, it might just be me that I didn't feel like it was draggy.
Like I said, I don't think it was draggy. I think you're right when you said it's just it was unique that I couldn't pick up. Like,
yeah,
some of them didn't make, I don't know, it didn't make sense, or it just didn't connect right or connect well. Like, okay, another example where Layla walks in with the scarab, like, I have the scarab. Mm-hmm. I have it. And fast forward, they started to run away. When they went up the stairs, okay, so you know how the guy came out the door?
Yeah.
I thought that guy was supposed to stop Steven, but no, they were both confused. The guy that came out the door, because I was looking at him, not Steven. So yeah. Steven freaked out. I was like, oh, he's one of the bad guys. I don't know where to go.
Right.
But I looked at him. He was confused as Steven. He kept looking back, and he saw what was going on. He was about to back away, and I felt Steven could have just kept running or pushed him on the side.
Yeah. That scene, because I caught that one too. This is just my opinion. I might be wrong. This might be total reach for me. That was, I think that was Victor. That was the same guy who was sitting down reading his book. He got, when he said that the lentil soup, you should try my, Arthur said, should try my lentil soup. And it's Victor's recipe. And he says, gracias, right? I think that was the same guy. Now, the reason why I mentioned that, because when he grabbed the staff, and everybody stood up, when Steven looked up, he saw Victor, who's reading the book, stood up.
Oh, I saw him too.
And then look at the crowd and then walked away, right? So this is what I think. I think they have a recruitment process, and who wants to be part of their cult group, and there are new people who's not part of the cult group yet, and that's like Victor. He doesn't have the tattoos. He's not part of the cult yet. He's like a recruitment.
I thought he had the tattoo. I saw him because he had a.
I know. I don't know. I didn't think it was like it was so far away. Like the camera was so far away that you couldn't see anything.
Well, the first time around when he showed Victor, I saw it when they had a close up, not too close, but like sitting there on the there. I thought I saw the tattoo on.
Yeah,
him.
I didn't see it. So what I think was there are some people who's like totally mind controlled by Arthur, and they exactly know what they're supposed to do, right? They're like super programmed on what they are. It's like the, you know, the whole stereotype of cult.
Okay.
And there's also people that are like, yeah, I'm not there yet. So when something happens, it's like I'm gonna walk away, and it's like, and then he got scared of him, you know.
I thought Victor was the one that was getting himself handed to by Layla. When he went up the stairs again, and Layla was beating up someone, I thought that was Victor.
No, he was. I mean, we don't know if. You might be right, but it's like because he just walked away, and wherever Steven was the same spot where Victor was sitting down.
Okay.
Because of the whole balcony with the railings, you know.
All right. Well, I led to that scene because when he went up, then there is that scene where they turn. Okay, so Steven goes up. He sees Layla, kicks the guy's butt, and then the scene goes to the part where y'all falls down and hits something or falls into something, and then the clip changes back to Arthur when he's summoning the jackal, and then after that, a little bit of that scene coming up, they turn back to Steven and Layla, and Layla grabs Steven, and then Steven says, "It's awesome, right? Oh, you are that was awesome." Now, I wasn't sure if that was awesome about her kicking butt or seeing the light, because that didn't fit well for me. It would have made sense that he was shocked in awe of Layla being able to take care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
But the transition from there to the scene where lights and the floor is opening.
I think it's towards Layla. I don't think it's towards what Arthur was doing. Because the reason why I said that, because
they were both looking at Arthur. That's what I thought.
No. It's because when the door swung open, he said, "The jackal! It's the jackal!" So it's like he had no idea what came out of the hole, or he had no idea what's going on. I think he was just saying what was awesome was... Because if he said that... If what Arthur summoned, if he think that was awesome, he wouldn't be surprised when he saw the jackal.
Oh no, you're right. I wasn't saying that he saw the jackal coming out. He saw magic happening.
Yeah, yeah.
That's unearthlike, or technically at this time.
Well, because the scene that we saw, he wouldn't have seen any of the magic. He only saw him on the ground saying something.
Yeah, but the lights were coming on. That's the right. Lights were. Yeah, you're right. There was no hole yet. But the light, a purple light, was starting to emit from the ground through the cracks, and I was
Think about this. Okay, think about this. When what was his name? Arthur said, "I don't want to do this," and he was scared, and he said, "Well, then don't." You know, like he said, why would he say that's awesome if it's like if he knows something crazy and deadly is about to happen? I think he was saying that was awesome of what she did. Yeah, what she did.
I thought that would make sense, but it wouldn't make sense to make that transition of there and then back to the floor, then come back and then say it. I think it would have been best to say it right there. Mm. Right there while the episode's flowing, and then looking back to the whole floor, then that was fine. I just think the transition of the clips were just off.
Okay.
That's, at least for me. Okay, and then again, it goes right in through the door to the jackal. And from Layla's point of view, there's that black thing. I don't know if it, like I said, the plastic floating down or digressing, or it was just a mishap on the clip. I tell you.
Or it could be like the jackal will turn can turn invisible, because the jackal wasn't like completely non-existent, you know what I mean?
Well,
like
you're right.
The jackal, what if that was the ability of the jackal, is just turned invisible to other people?
Then,
you know,
it wouldn't
like
make
it will be like a process of invisibility.
Okay, but then it wouldn't make sense then Leia said what jackal,
huh?
It wouldn't make sense for Layla to say what jackal, because she doesn't know what came through that door.
Right, but you could only see like a part of the black thing. She wouldn't have even seen the whole thing.
If it was a shadow, yes. My whole thing about that was to tell you that the normal eye cannot see it except for special people.
Right.
Like in the beginning.
Well, yes and no. This is my thought. Yes, because I thought about this, about the invisibility of the jackal, because she tossed water on him and he got covered.
Right. Yeah.
So that means he's not like truthfully non-existent to naked eye, to human eye. I think he has an ability to get invisible, you know, to camouflage.
Okay, camouflage
You know
himself.
What I mean?
Okay.
Camouflage himself. It's like a chameleon or a squid will just camouflage himself. It's like the whole process
and chooses whoever can see him and who not.
I think the whoever is the avatar of the gods could see it, whether you camouflage it or not. It's like one of your ability. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Well, that was that. Like I said, in between from the tattoo hand, from the DC cop, all the way to when Mark takes over, it was just a little bit off for me because none of the clips made sense. But anyway, overall, it was good. Now, since we're still talking about the clips and behind the scenes kind of thing, I did like my favorite scene was in the
storage. Well, don't talk about favorite scene yet. Hold on, we're talking about all the like the bad things about the show.
Oh, the bad things?
Yeah, well, are you done with that?
That's pretty much it. That's okay. What I had.
Well, I have some. Well, you jump in a different topic.
Because you just said that you didn't have anything in this movie.
No, I didn't say that. I said, what do you think? And then you went going.
Okay, what do you think? Okay,
let's transition back to you. Why did you jump to a different topic?
Anyway, go for it. My bad,
So the some of the things. So I think the very first one was in the storage room. Those lights were terrible. Like they turn on as soon as you pass them, not when you're under them. You know, when the storage worker or employee was walking with them, you would see the lights turning on and you see like shadow in front of them, like darkness in front of the while they're walking. That means the light will turn on behind them. Like that's terrible.
Yeah,
that's horrible sensor. It's horrible.
Like, I know. I'm just thinking that is that like legit sensory for other companies where, okay, if you're done with that section of the light, go move on to the next. Is that legit?
Yes. Yeah. We've seen that before in Loki. You know when we're watching, it Loki? No, it wasn't Loki. It was what movie was that? It wasn't Loki. There was one movie. No. Captain Marvel. It was Captain Marvel when he was being chased. Him and Captain Marvel and Nick Fury were going in the police station.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And that whole light. But the light was like the whole section, not just one area.
Yeah, I think that makes sense if it's like blink, like
click,
click, click, click, click all the way down the hallway, but not when
just one section and then
the disappears.
Yeah.
I didn't. I thought that was a little bit weird.
But that was like that part was like that's a terrible light, you know. and then another one is, and this is not questioning the movie. It's just questioning like the way their storage unit works. And then the second one was questioning Steven, when he was inside the storage room and he was talking to Mark, and then Mark said that Amit?
Amit is crocodile.
And he's explaining everything on what's going on and what's gonna happen and things like that. And then Steven said, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard." And I was like, "Yo, you're talking to a reflection of you, and you think that is the stupidest thing you've ever heard?"
I thought the same exact thing when he said that. I was like, you do know that you're talking to another personality through your reflection.
Yeah. It was like, that's a completely different, like that's,
and
you think that is the stupidest thing and you're talking to your reflection and it's responding to you.
And Steven blames it on the steak. You know what? Nothing wrong with the steak. Steak is delicious. when he heard that comment, he said, "I eat steak for one night and this happens. The stupidest thing ever." I was like, no.
Yeah.
I was mad about that statement.
Another one was, there was another one. When Mark Spector put on the whole suit, right? Put on the cape and the whole suit. And I think I get it, right? I get it because it will show you. First of all, Steven's weapon is different with Mark's weapon, and that might be because they're wearing different kind of suits.
Right.
But their weapons are completely different. That might be there might be like an explanation why would it be different, but I don't know. I have no idea. but for now, when Mark became Moon Knight, And like I said, I get it, because you have to show the hero's weapons and things like that. But it was so pointless that he grabbed this weapon to act so cool, and he didn't even use it. He started running and climbing, so he's like, put it back or whatever. Because he went, because I looked at it. I watched it, like, you know, the third time I viewed it. When he was climbing, he wasn't holding anything. He was just climbing.
Okay, I saw that too, and I thought he used it to climb.
No, like, you could see his fingers. Like, I literally, like, pay attention and focused in on how he grabbed it. You know, I thought it would be, like, wrapped around his hand like this, or it will be hooked with the, you know, with the ledges and things like that. No, it was his fingers.
All right.
He was grabbing it. I'm like, wait, why did you pull up? Why did you pull up your weapon then? You know, why did you take out your weapon? And then that scene when he stabbed the jackal and then impaled the jackal on the thing, and then his weapon fell. That was really cool. But the rest is like, what? Why did you take out your weapon again? And then even Steven, when he pulled out his weapon, he didn't even use it.
Well, he had to listen to his wife. You know, he says, take him out of here.
So No. Steven. I'm talking about Steven. When he took out his baton, it was like, oh, what are these? He didn't even use it.
Yeah, he didn't. He completely dropped it when the jackal jumped on him.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, going back to the scene where he said, you know, Mark pulls out the moon, I don't know what you call them, weapons. I don't know. Are they supposed to be brass knuckles when they're not your knuckles?
No, they're supposed to wrap like this.
That must be the most uncomfortable weapon. I kid you not. I can just imagine. But anyway.
There are weapons like that, but it's different. So you have this thing, and then you have a cover around your fingers, and then you have a section where you can wear it. Right. So it's like a brass knuckle with with extra stuff. It's like a brass knuckle with extra.
Yeah, right. I think he put it back because his wife said, take him out of here.
No, he just started running. You watch that clip again, when he said, get him out of here. Right, he pulled it out, right? And then he did this superhero pose, and she said, get him out of here. He started bolting.
See, you saw it too. That's a useless scene. Or that was just dumb, bringing his weapons out. I think it was just bad timing to bring it out. Because he would use it later.
It probably like a force of habit. It's like, every time I go in his suit, I got to take out my weapon.
Got to give a superhero pose.
Right.
Speaking about a superhero pose, Steven did a superhero landing.
Yeah, I know.
He did. After he getting hit in the head.
Yeah.
And then he drops. And then he completely forgot or forgets that bad things are happening. He gets carried away with the suit.
Yeah. Did you notice too that... when Steven fell and he called for the suit, well, he hit the...
Some rail or something.
No, he called for the suit, he hit the rail, and then turned to a suit, and he did the perfect landing, right?
Right.
When with Mark, he has the suit, he killed the jackal, he didn't do the perfect landing. Did you notice that? Like the parallel of two.
Right.
Yeah, because he killed the jackal, it was so cool, but he like landed on his face.
Or something like that. You know? Yeah, he did a bad landing. And I like his statement where Mark was trying to figure out, Steven, what are we wearing?
Yeah.
But, you know, it made me think that the Avatar uniform or armor may not necessarily need to be the way it looked, because it could be anything.
No, I think it's up to your imagination. Like, because that's what Steven imagined the suit would look like, so that's how it appeared. And then Mark would have been imagining the way, you know, because he said the legendary whatever in Egyptian mythology. Yeah. And that's what's gonna appear.
I see. You know, that makes sense.
I think so, because I'm only basing it on how Steven summoned the suit, you know. I wonder, he still had the Moon Knight logo and the Moon Knight face and the eyes and things like that.
It was just so modernized.
Yeah, it's just he didn't have the mummy kind of suit and the hood and the cape. But yeah, that scene too, it's like what I think just made me frown is he fell, he had the suit, he talked. And then he's like bragging about, like, look, I mean, it looks good. Like, do you not know that Layla is still in the storage with a bunch of enemies?
Yeah, again, he forgot completely what was going on. Like, just got carried away looking at himself.
Yeah.
Oh, I like how he was yelling at himself, where he says, "I don't care how good looking you are. Who are you?" I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah. You know, you're telling that to yourself, right?
I think that was the joke. I think that was the joke of, I think that was the Stevens hinting a little bit of your joke in there.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I think that's about it. I think that's all I got for the bad scenes that I noticed. Mm. What else? So you said, what's your favorite line? Scenes?
Favorite scene was, I think I do have a few. Now I forgot the other two, but the one that just keeps popping in my mind, it's the back in the locker room. Though the start of the storage room.
Mm-hmm.
Poor lighting, or if it's the company, that's how they set up their lights. They need to change that. That's a hazard. Because apparently, what happened next will show why it could be a hazard. That you can't really see what's in the hallway and so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, that scene when he storms out of the storage room, his storage room, and then he starts seeing things or starts seeing Khonshu here and there. I thought that whole scene was was my favorite, because there were some other additional things that they added on, like when he was running, you see the shadow of the staff on the back. And my favorite part is when he stopped. Oh, now I remember what. When he screamed after seeing Khonshu,
mm-hmm.
where it made it look like a wanted picture, where it stopped. Do you remember that?
Wanted picture?
It made it seem look like a wanted picture. Like he started to scream and then it froze.
Mm-hmm.
That made it seem like a bad wanted picture. Just, here's a bad guy got caught on the...
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
No, at the end of...
Because are you talking about like the One Piece kind of wanted picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, that one.
Because in the real world, they use like whatever picture they have in the precinct, you know?
Oh,
like
no, I'm just saying that he made a post.
Yeah.
Because the clip froze when mm-hmm. he started to scream when he saw that. What I didn't get, why did the door open behind him?
Why did the door open behind him?
Yeah.
I think it's just the power, because when he was running, you will see some of the doors shaking and jittering because of the power of Kosha, you know?
So
it's just the effect.
It just so happened that at the very end of that clip, that door opens, yeah. that click,
yeah.
and then he screams. And then it froze on that. You know, I guess, I don't know what makes sense, but I like that picture or that clip. That mm-hmm. was my favorite scene. And, my other favorite scene was when there was another one. I can't remember. Shoot. Because I had two more. I was watching it with you just right now, not too long ago. And I said, oh, that's a cool one. Yeah, I guess only the storage room was my favorite. I think it was. Because the whole place was poltergeist. Because, you know, it was Khonshu trying to freak him out. I thought that was all pretty funny.
Yeah, my favorite scenes is every time Khonshu, right?
Khonshu.
I don't know why thinking about Kenosha. Khonshu. Every time he shows up, there's a warm light around him, right? So when he showed up in the storage room, with Steven, those lights, the warm lights showing up around him as if it's like the moon. You know, when you see the moon, it's always right. like the warm. Light, like when I say warm, it's like yellowish light, right? And then when Arthur and Steven were walking, you see, what's his name again?
Khonshu
stood up from the ceiling, and then his crescent staff, and then right there is the light bulb from the post on his staff. So it's like the moon,
right?
You know, oh,
that's cool.
It's like his staff is on the moon. Or it's like brightening the moon. And then what else? And then when Khonshu showed up after Mark kicked the mirror, right? And that's actually one of my favorite lines, is right there. when after he kicked the mirror, Khonshu showed up. It's like, I thought you can handle this, or I thought it's not gonna interfere. From that scene, you will see one of the light, the post light in there, and then when it shifted right here from the top of the building, there's another light right there, and that the same light when it shifted. It's always like there's always the light post, the warm light.
I missed that.
Being seen when he's around, you know. I think that last part with the mark is unintentional. I think it's just to make a better lighting and things like that. But the rest is intentionally making it seems like that. Khonshu has a warm light, like the moonlight around him, because he's the god of the moon, you know. Yeah.
But yeah, true.
Yeah. Interesting. I still cannot figure out what he looks like. I mean, he looks like a bird to me.
I think he's supposed to look like a bird.
Yeah.
Like a bone bird.
Yeah. Yeah. He does look like a bird. This movie reminds me of a lot of shows. Like, I don't know if you remember your other favorite scene, but I'm going to jump into this part.
Oh. Okay. The other scene, I think I remember, but the little mini joking conversation. I think my favorite line is like, why do we look like a crazy Colonel Sanders? I thought that was psycho. Pretty funny. Yeah, psycho. Colonel Sanders.
Colonel Sanders, yeah.
And
I guess we're gonna talk about favorite lines now. I thought we're gonna talk about favorite scenes first.
It's part of the scene because I thought that was pretty funny where he's having a funny interaction with himself.
Yeah.
And I knew there was a scene with Layla. I can't remember. I think the joke when he it was funny to me when he was having immediate responses to their questions. Like when the DC female cop picked up the chain from the bed, like, I have a sleeping disorder.
Yeah.
And then there goes the big guy. It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
Paperweight. So where'd you get this paperweight from? From the paperweight shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember then.
Go ahead.
No, I think that's it. I that's all my favorite scenes or cool scenes. I thought it was funny. I'm good. Yeah.
Go. Okay. So my favorite lines, because you started talking about lines, my favorite lines were this. I guess my I'll put it like a top three favorite lines, right? The first one was I will never divorce you. Okay. So you like Mark and Steven have the same taste. Like you can tell they're the same person because they have the same taste. They have the same Mark's memories still flow through Steven. That's why he had the whole mother thing, the poem with the same girl. That's why it's like it's still connected to Mark's history, whatever Steven is doing. And then the hieroglyphics, because he studied that with, you know, like the wife studied the same thing because they're trying to aim for something.
What was it that you liked about that again? That favorite line?
I will never divorce you.
Yeah. I just thought what happened there. It's like, Mark, you're stupid. She's a hot woman. Why would you want to divorce her? That's what I thought was going on.
No. That's exactly what it was.
Because what I'm saying is that because Mark has her. The image that I got from Steven, like, he has no chance getting a girl, and he finally has an opportunity to be with one.
That's that's what the show is trying to point out when he said, "I will never divorce you," because it's like this girl is so attractive, and I liked her, and it was so obvious too when he was riding in a scooter and he felt awkward wrapping his, you know, arms around her. It's like, yeah, I like this girl. This girl is cute, kind
of
thing.
And then all of a sudden, she says, "Wife's like." You're my wife? Yeah. Wait, we're married?
Right. Yeah. I think that's what the show was trying to portray. Is like, this guy is a loser and he can never get a girl. Like, even in the first episode when that black girl showed up and he's like, hey, forget, remember tomorrow 7 p.m. It's like, wait, 7 p.m.? Us? Wait, what? You know, like, he is that type of guy. That's why he said, like, I will never divorce you. Like, look at you. Like, have you seen yourself? And then he even said that the other guy's a dumb wit. And then you see... Mark's reflections, like disappointed. It's like, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, because I'm trying to divorce this girl, and you know, in this and that.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
My other one, and I think this is my favorite scene. My favorite line. It was so creepy when before Mark started kicking the mirror, Steven said, "I will hunt you for the rest of you. I will never," something like that. I will hunt you for the rest of your life.
He said something like, "I will not," something about peace. Like, he will keep troubling him. He will not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to remember the line. I thought I had it. But I completely forgot.
I love that you're trying to correct what I don't remember. And then you're I don't remember either.
I remembered it. And then it just slipped. It's something with a P. Like, I would not bring you peace for as long as I... Something. I don't know. Take it back. I don't remember. Forget it.
But yeah, so that scene was so intense. The reason why it's so intense, because you can tell how this is like the revenge of Steven. You know, when he was young, he believed that he was haunted by Mark or this other persona who he can't date anybody, he can't sleep by himself, he can't do all of these things because of Mark. Now I have an opportunity to do the same thing with you. I'm gonna hunt you for the rest of your life. You're never gonna sleep, you're never gonna have any peace at all, because knowing that I'm there bothering you every single time.
Oh, man.
So that's why it was so intense when he said that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
This guy, though, I think he, the actor, what's his name again?
I don't know. I forgot.
I think he did pretty good in this episode. And then when I say that, he does well playing the British role and then the American role.
I believe that too. With the accents alone, right? It's phenomenal.
He did great. Yeah. Because I couldn't tell his character. He really did Steven well. And they went, maybe because Mark, his roles aren't as elaborate as it will be. He does well with the accent, does well with his role, knowing the different persona where from being a chicken to a chimp. And I really how he does his play in this episode too. But do you know who the wife is?
Nope, I don't. I think she might be a British star. I have no idea.
I don't know if she's trying to cover her accent, because I can catch on her accent here and there.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's trying to be an American wife or a mixed British wife.
I think she is a British wife. Yeah, I think she's from England. I think she's European at least.
I only know two A-list stars, and there's the main one and the villain. Those are the only two I know that I consider A-list, at least, because I've seen them in other movies they were in. But I don't know anyone else in there.
Yeah, probably at least not yet.
Not even the voiceover.
Did you look up who voiced over him? Yeah, I don't have your phone. It's charging.
Yeah, I thought the voiceover is the guy that did... Optimus Prime, but I guess it's not.
He actually sound like Charles Xavier from X-Men whenever he talks. Like, you can, like, it's not, but there are some tones. It's like, it could be Charles Xavier for sure. Charles Xavier. So when I said earlier that this movie reminds me a lot of shows, one of the shows, one of the main shows that reminds me of is Jujutsu Kaisen, the anime. You know, like, you have a devil that lives in you and that you have to summon out, and it will show up to help you, and it's much way more stronger than you. You know, that kind of idea of the Jujutsu Kaisen, like the main character.
Okay, yeah, I see it.
It also reminds me of Batman with that whole light, you know, like the flashing light when... Khonshu.
Yeah,
Khonshu was there in the storage unit. I was like, oh, that seems like a Batman scene. And also, Steven version of Moon Knight reminds me a lot of Deadpool. He's like the white version of Deadpool.
Just not funny.
No, I'm talking about like the goofiness and the words that he's saying when he's like trying to fight the Jackal. And then that whole funny scene where the people in the bus was looking at him, he's smashing his head, and they're like... They're like, is he like, is he having seizure? And it's like, no, I think he's just drunk, you know. Like that whole scene reminds me of
a fancy drunk.
There you go. That whole scene reminds me of Deadpool. And then when Mark turned to a different version of Moon Knight, when he was jumping around and running and talking to himself, that is Batman. For sure, that's Batman.
Oh,
which apparently, definitely. Which apparently, a controversy, because they're saying that that Marvel made Moon Knight to be just like Batman, the DC version of Batman. Because in the comic books, a lot of the artworks, even the front page, it's showing that he's just like the complete opposite, but the same thing of Batman. Because if you think about it, Batman is all black, and then Moon Knight is all white, you know.
True.
And then they have the Batman of the night, and then Moon Knight in the night, you know.
Yeah.
Because Batman was what? What was his name? The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Right.
This one's the Moon Knight.
Yeah. Exactly. So that whole controversy that Moon Knight is based off Batman.
Okay, all y'all critics just being extra. All right,
it makes sense though. I mean, if you think about it,
I get it. It's Marvel. Marvel's Marvel. DC's DC.
Yeah.
All right, y'all's just extra, man.
But what do you feel about Deathstroke and Deadpool then? Would you say the same thing?
No,
because that was completely the same.
Deathstroke.
Yeah, and Deadpool.
The way they are?
Yeah. Like, they even said, they admittedly said that Deathstroke is just like Deadpool. Or, I mean, Deadpool is just like Deathstroke. Like, he's based off Deathstroke. Because Deathstroke was created first before Deadpool, of course. But he was...
As in terms of superpower? Or just what he can do?
As the character himself.
I thought Deathstroke was a serious type guy. Not funny and goofy.
Yeah, that's the part that they changed, but the rest is basically Deadpool and Deathstroke.
I didn't know
like
that.
That's like the mirror of them. There's a lot of them if you think about it. There's a lot of characters like that, like, you know, like the Captain America. They have a version in DC that's in.
I believe thing. It that they yeah. there's like copycats of each other in or similar characters in
DC. Yeah, I mean, Marvel. look at the boys, you know. And that's not even DC.
Yeah, but they're pretty obvious of who they are right. If you want to compare it to somebody. Like, I forgot his name already. I know who I'm thinking of.
He's just like Superman. Like
the 100%. Evil kind.
Yeah, and then Queen Maeve is Wonder Woman.
Yeah. And Aqua?
Yeah, right. That's Aquaman. 100% Aquaman. Right?
So, yeah, it's...
A-Train is Flash.
Right, it was all given.
It's
there.
Like a huge knockoff of those DC characters.
DC characters,
yeah. But with this, with Moon Knight, I love what do you think? Okay, so I'm gonna ask you about what do you think or who do you think Arthur is? In your opinion, it's like maybe this is more like a prediction. Who do you think Arthur is?
A fanatic. Maybe his character shows that he's a fanatic, but or a psychotic. But him as who he was, or who he will, who he is now, to these guys, I can't really pinpoint. I just think he's psycho. After the story in this episode, the story has been revealed. Now, putting production and comparison aside. The story. Now we know who Amit, and we got Khonshu, and who they, what they represent, or what their sense of purpose. We got Amit, who gets rid of those who will soon do evil, or who will do evil, but will not, who will foresee to do evil, gets rid of them, versus Khonshu, who will take care of those who has done evil. So Arthur said he used to be like that. Used to be an avatar of Khonshu, but then he transitioned to Amit. I think he was a brainwashed guy that Amit needed an avatar.
I think I think our Thor can hear Khonshu, but he's pretending not to hear Khonshu. That's like a small part of me. That's what's happening. Because it's like he's intentionally trying to, he's directly trying to fool Steven that he can't hear Khonshu, but he's repeating everything that Khonshu is saying to make Steven believe. It's like, oh yeah, this guy's legit because he's saying basically what this guy's saying, you know? And then second, I know he didn't need the cane. And that was a really important scene during the ball because he, when the girl kicked the ball, he stopped the ball with his left foot and then kicked it with his right foot, you know? So that means he didn't need the cane.
Oh, that's true. He didn't.
Yeah, he didn't
need the cane. He seemed fine.
Yep, he seems fine. So that part is that. And then I think Arthur, why is every occult leader, right? Whether in Christian occult or whatever occult belief it may be, they always have this... this something that they're trying to, I don't know, like they're trying to lead by or live by, you know, like, oh, your ways is wrong. So I'm going to live by this ways. And I think this ways is right. And make it sense so much. Like it makes so much sense the way they're saying it, you know, like, it makes you think. Like when he said that, oh, Khonshu is saving, he thinks that he's saving people or he's the vengeance of justice, but the harm has already been done, you know, but Ahmet is different way. We're going to stop it before it happens because we already know. It's like, I mean, in retrospect, like that makes so much sense because... Why would you punish, if you could punish someone before they could do it, that's way better. You know what I mean? That's way better than wait for them to do something. You know what I mean? It's like they're so good with justifying things.
The way they word it?
Yeah. Well, not just the way they word it, the way they explain things, you know? Him and most of the villains. Like look at
Well, no, I get it. You're true. Because when they but when you put it perspective, just like how what's his name? Steven did. It made sense. Like, oh, now you put it that way. That sounds bad.
No. Not that. I'm talking about every belief that they have. They justify it so much that it makes so much sense. Because if you like really deep down think about it, it's like I'd much rather have that. You know, like if you tell me that you can punish that the person who's about to, I don't know, to harm me, because you know in the future he's going to harm me. Yeah, punish him right now. Whether he's innocent or not, punish him. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, they're so good in justifying things that if you look at it really in a deeper level, I was like, yeah, that actually makes more sense. And that not just him. Like, you look at Thanos, you know? Like, if we eradicate half of the universe, the other half that survive will thrive. Because now we don't have to share all this wealth and all these resources to half of the universe. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they're so good in justifying the bad things that they're about to do that when you look at it, it's like, it makes so much sense. You know what I mean? That, like, do you get what I'm saying about the Ahmet?
I see where you're going at. Yeah. Because... It sounds, yeah, I do get it. I don't know how to put it in words, but I get what you mean.
Yeah. I
do.
But I mean, still wrong, of course. Like, just the way, you know, just the way Steven said it. Like, how would you know? Because, I mean, he said that nobody's perfect. Everybody's going to do something bad. He didn't say it like that, but it's like, how about a child? You know, someday, 30 years from now, he's going to do something bad. We always do something bad. Are you going to say, well, you're going to be punished now? Well, I haven't even done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If they use the word prevent rather than punish, then okay. I think I'm okay with the belief, but to punish them right away for something they yet to do, yeah. But yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't be okay with it.
And that's why I believe in what you said, that Ahmet is just using Arthur, and it always turns out like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like every time we've seen this in a lot of movies. When what's the popular one? I forgot what the movie was, but when aliens were using these humans to break whatever government they have, right, to ruin the country. Right, these aliens are using these people, and they promise them that once we, you know, if we win, we're gonna give you all this wealth. You're gonna be this, or you're gonna be powerful. And then when they successfully break down the government or break down the whole world, and then they ask the aliens, "Hey, what's the power that you promise?" What do they do? They kill them, right? They kill them, and it's like that. So they're just using them. So it might be in that the same trope too, that Ahmet is just using Arthur, and Ahmet will be the main villain. Because remember this, most of the time, and I'm gonna say it again, most of TV shows, the first nemesis in the first, you know, few episodes is not the real nemesis. There's always gonna be someone, real nemesis.
The real guy comes up.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Almost every show. Look at Loki. Oh, it's Kang. That he is the main enemy. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not TVA. It's Kang. And then if you go to WandaVision, you know, it wasn't Wanda the main villain or anybody else around there. It was who?
It was the girl with the purple.
Yeah, the witch girl.
The witch.
The another perfect one was what was that one? Even with Hawkeye, right? We saw who the real villain is. You thought the villain was the jumpsuit people or Yelena, but it's not.
It was Fist. Kingpin.
Yeah, it's Kingpin. So it's like that. They will give you, you know, Disney will give you, or any other shows will give you like the initial villain that you will hate. And then it's like, oh, here comes the real villain. Yep, he showed up, you know?
Yeah, the fact that he said that he used to be with Khonshu makes me feel like, he's a good guy that just got taken over.
Yeah, that whole conversation too with Khonshu and Mark kind of, it's so vague. It is so weird and confusing, because at first Khonshu was telling him, "You're a failure, you're this and that, you think you can do this?" And then Mark said, "You know, I can do it." And then Khonshu said,
"You know that
he said first, "You've proven that you cannot," right?
Yeah.
And then right after that, Khonshu said, "You know, I will save you, save you with all I got." I'm like, wait, how are you like changing pathways right now? And then right after he said that, he said, you think this body is yours, but it's, well, he said that at first, but our deal is not over. Because Mark said, after this, we're done, you know, everything is paid off. And then he said, well, you know who my next candidate is, right? Your close, dear person. And I'm assuming he's referring to his wife.
I thought so too.
It's not clear yet because he only said she, you know.
Right.
It could be someone else, but most likely it's going to be her. He even said to Steven that Khonshu wanted my wife.
Right.
You know, and he's trying to protect her and so things like that. That's but what I'm not going to let him. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I thought that he was referring to his wife.
Mm-hmm. Can I say a prediction real quick?
Go for it.
This is my prediction to the show. It's second episode of Moon Knight. And I've been pondering about this since I first watched the show. There are some conversations there that we thought it wasn't important until we find out that it is important, you know, and there's a lot of shows that are like that. Mm. You know, they will mention some things like nonchalantly just say something and they're like, oh, okay, maybe it's just something that they're mentioning, but come to find out it's actually one of the most important scenes of the movie or the show. When one of the DC, I think it was DC Fitzgerald, the chick, found out, it was so weird because so her name is DC Fitzgerald, right? Yeah. And then the other one is DC Kennedy. Right?
I think so.
But she called him Billy. And he said, Billy, look what we got here. While she was looking at the laptop.
I'm assuming that it's a nickname.
Right, I think so. But, or maybe his real name. Like the cop, his cop names or his other outside world name is DC Kennedy. Anyway, while she was looking at the laptop, she said that Mark killed a lot of people. Archaeologists, right? Mm-hmm. They were shot in the head.
Oh, no. Mercenaries.
No, archaeologists.
No, the archaeologist was the last person he killed. Okay. He killed mercenaries and then...
Yep, the archaeologist, right? On the back of the head. I think that was the original Mark. And these are my points why I think that's the original Mark. Because Khonshu said that you're practically dead when I saved you.
Oh.
Right? You're practically dead when I saved you. And second, Mark said, I'm covered in blood. And then Steven said, you have blood all over my hand, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm covered with blood. And that guy was shot in the head.
Oh, man. He said,
I'm covered in blood. So what if that archaeologist that found Khonshu, right? Or that found the scarab, because Mark was looking for the scarab, found the scarab, and then those mercenaries or whoever it is shot him in the head and left him there. And then Khonshu showed up and saved them.
Hey, you were practically a corpse when I found you.
Yep, you're practically a corpse when I found you.
Oh,
dude, what if that archaeologist was Mark?
That's a good one.
Right?
That's a real good take. That's a nice hot take.
I know. I'm saying, because I was like, I'm thinking, when that black chick, DC Fitzgerald mentioned that, it's like there's gotta be something in there, because there's no way this show will not there's no way this show will mention that for no reason.
I thought,
you know what I mean,
I just thought they were trying to emphasize or elaborate what Mark was doing. But that was a good catch. I never even thought of that.
Yeah,
but then it makes sense now that you think, was it, why would they bring that up? Execution style.
Yeah, an archaeologist execution style. Yep.
Ooh, that's nice. That was a good one.
And then he said, I have blood. I'm covered in blood. And then you're practically a corpse when I found you.
Then do you think...
like he became an avatar after he died, you know?
Is it the same person then?
Huh? Yeah, that guy who got shot in the head, that archaeologist, was him. That was Mark.
I mean, is him.
Well, yeah, is him. So he got resurrected.
Okay, because...
And became an avatar of conscience.
All right, so... We are thinking the same thing, because I was trying to think, wait, then how come there's a passport of Mark Spector? And then is it the same wife? Or does the wife know that he's in a different body? Or this is Mark? Yeah,
because he disappeared, you know, and that was the other clue too. When Layla said, you disappeared and I was worried about you and you were gone and things like that. That might be the time that he went to Egypt or he went somewhere to find the scarab. Or to find when Khonshu found him and when he died.
You know, putting the pieces together, you might be right.
Yep.
Because she said, I thought you were dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Right?
But then it just doesn't make sense where Steven came from.
I don't know.
You know? I thought, because when I think about a typical...
I think Steven was... I think Steven is just another character that he created to hide his identity. You like to hide him, you know, like to it's like a what do you call those agents, like the sleeping agents, you know, to hide their identity. You have to.
Oh, just like the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, just like the Winter Soldier. Yeah, they're like the sleeping agents. Like he told Khonshu, make a bargain. Do you want to hide all of these things so people cannot find us or Ahmet cannot find us? Let's make this guy a. Let's make a character of this guy, a different version of me.
I thought it was more of a defense mechanism to run away.
And then all of the memories that he had are all fake. And it was so clear because we saw it in New Rockstar when they mentioned all of the postcards that he's posting by the fish tank was the same postcards in the museum. So Mark was sending that to him to make him believe all these things.
Oh, you know, you're giving
him memories, yeah. So all the memories that he had when he was a kid that he couldn't fall asleep, he couldn't date and things like that.
That's those all are fake.
Just all fake memories.
Woo. I feel sorry for you, Steven, that you're a fake.
Right?
Oh, man. Yeah, the moment that he realized that he's not real.
Yeah. Because it makes sense. Like how, like the big thing is the fish. You know, when he was gone for 3 days, he saw his goldfish with another fin. That means that goldfish was dead, right? Mm. The original goldfish with the Nemo one.
Right.
That means Mark replaced it with a new fish because that one died because he hasn't fed it for 3 days, you know? So Mark is giving him like false information about his life.
Oh, that makes complete sense. Yeah. But I'm just trying to figure out because Steve thinks he's real. Mm-hmm. Steven thinks he's real. Steven with a V.
Yeah.
How will that persona just sink in reality that he knows that he's not real, or become a split personality? For, I mean, because he's not okay with your theory coming together. It just comes to say that he isn't real. I wonder how he's going to react when he finds out he's not real. Because he in this episode made he's been saying and claiming I'm not broken. Mm-hmm. I may need help.
Oh, hold on. So that's another clue that I got, and it might be a little stretch, right? It might be a little reach. When Arthur said, "Is Kosh Khonshu manipulating you because to break your mind,
or is were you already broken?"
Yep, the shot in the head. Broken mind. Come on. Or your mind's that's already broken. That's a
nudge
broken.
In the head, are you saying?
You know what I mean?
Or the nudge in the head. A nudge right there? That, yeah. Or a clue?
Yeah.
That's a nice pickup right
dude,
there.
Dude, like the reason why Khonshu went for him, because when Khonshu saw him, his mind is already broken. Like quite literally blown up into proportion. But yeah, so what you were saying, that I think Steven was just gonna find out that he's not real. Like he's not a real persona at all.
Yeah, so
like he does not exist.
If it was something that Khonshu created, mm-hmm. just for as a disguise,
yeah,
then it makes sense he'll fix it, clear him out. Or if it was something that Mark created, self.
Yeah, because I don't know if you notice. If you watch the first episode and the second episode, Khonshu never call him Steven. He always calls him Mark.
Because when
Steven was around, and when when Khonshu was telling him to kill him, he said, Mark, kill him. Kill him, Mark.
Yeah, and he says, Mark, you said he will not interfere.
Yeah.
He will never use his name, you're right.
Yeah.
I never heard him say Steven.
Yeah, he never called him Steven.
Hmm. I wonder if you were to say Steven, it would transfer rights over to him rather than Mark.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a very thin, a very, very reach.
Yeah. Because I believe in the innocence until proven guilty, you know? Mm. And with that said, you cannot put people in a way that, well, first of all, you cannot do that to people. You can't judge people before they even do it, you know? And second, If that's the case, nobody will be alive on Earth because everybody's gonna be dead.
Yeah. Now, if you had the talent or the ability of Amit, knowing that this person will commit a crime, would you try to prevent it or try to cure it, or what would you do?
If someone I know is gonna do something bad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do anything.
You wouldn't?
No, I won't do anything.
No, like say, okay, maybe I'm going to make this a little bit more dramatic. So if you knew that Thanos was someone who would become so destructive and mm-hmm. evil, but at the time that you know him, he seems like a good guy here and there, and then before he turns, would you stop him from there?
No, because Amit is a limited god, right? He's not like a like overpowered god, but there is a reason for everything, and right. that's gonna go in the religious part of it. But there's a reason for everything. So there's a reason why this would happen, and someone will thrive because of that and became stronger to compensate that part. You know, like there's always a reason for everything. You can't just be oh, you can get killed and then that's it, it's over, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I won't interfere to any of that. And this answers the question a lot of atheists, you know, this answers a lot of atheist questions, you know, if God is all powerful and all loving, why would he allow evil to happen? You know what I mean? And, you know, there's a lot of answers to that, but one of the main answers that I like the most is, and if that's the case, God will be controlling everything, and you don't want that. You don't want God controlling every single thing, you know?
Right.
Like, before you even cross the road, he will stop you, because knowing that there's a tendency that you can get hit and die. That means everything gonna be in a box, you know? And evil happens because of the free will of man of doing whatever they want to do,
I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
I just wondered if I had the ability to foresee something, I wouldn't mind to prevent it, at least for one of it in my life.
I get that part personally, but if you think about it though, because it's like, there's always going to be, in every action there's always an initial reaction, whether it's good or it's bad, you know? What if when you stop that thing to happen,
what would
there will be a domino effect that will affect in a different way,
okay,
that it could get worse.
No, okay, you're right. You know what I mean? With theologically speaking or philosophically speaking.
Yeah.
No, I get it. No, I'm just, okay, like, say that you, okay, because there's a character, like this anime character. This anime character had the ability to foresee of something negative is about to happen. He doesn't have the ability to control it from stopping. He just happens to see it. What would you do if you were in the same position?
Oh, that was like in the movie.
That's what I was trying to foresee.
There's a movie called White Noise.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it
though. Yeah, that movie White Noise is, so he has an ability to see someone, right? When he sees, like white shadows around them or white, basically white bright light around them, that means it's either they're about to kill a lot of people or he's gonna die, right? So this guy is tried to stop it, so he stopped like three people and he felt good. It's like, I saved a lot of people, and come to find out it came back and he killed way more people because he saved that guy. So now he stopped saving people. Like, when he sees them, there's a bright light, bright white light, he's not going to do something because he knows if he save them, more people are going to die, right?
Oh, man.
But these people that he didn't save started hunting him. So he is in a lose-lose situation. So if he save them, he will kill more people, right? And then these people that he killed will hunt him, or he will not stop this person to die, but this same person will hunt him.
Ooh,
you know what I mean? It's like he's in a complete lose-lose situation. But with that said, that could be the potential thing that would happen. You know, if you save this person from not dying, what if this the same person get to an accident and killed a lot of people?
I haven't seen the rest of it. That didn't happen in Tokyo Revenge.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Tokyo Revenge, like, the whole idea of Tokyo Revenge, what do you call this?
Going back and forth in time.
The time travel, not just that, but the time travel idea of Tokyo Revenge is totally messed up. Because when he saved, when he first saved the girl, or the brother, because the brother would die, in the first, you should have seen in like the first or second
episode. Yes.
The brother should have been dead, right?
Right.
But when he went back to his real timeline, the brother still recognized him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's no way he should have recognized him. Or not recognize him, like remembered what had happened, like the whole plan of going back in time and changing everything and then going back in real time. Like, he shouldn't have remembered that, he shouldn't have remembered that because he wasn't part of the plan.
I thought that
he shouldn't be
part of that. The way I see Tokyo Revenge after watching the movie made sense to me that it could be the same timeline
Adam Project.
Yeah, Adam Project.
Yeah. Well, because think about this, right? In the like the fourth or fifth episode, if you haven't seen it, the fourth or fifth episode, the sister of that kid,
yep,
who he was in love with,
right,
when I they remember. Were kids, right? She's supposed to be dead, right? Because she died into an accident, right? And then in this fourth episode or fifth episode, he went back in time to save her, and he successfully saved her. So he went back to his real time, and then he saw his brother. Did you do it? I said, well, let's find out. Like, he had no idea if his sister is alive or not.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I haven't watched it yet, but I don't mind spoilers. You already know. But that's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. So they went there and saw him, saw her.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my question. Like, if you had the white hole, white noise concept, what would you do?
I don't know. I wouldn't. With the white noise perspective, I asked myself that when I first watched the movie.
I don't know.
I don't know. That whole thing is a lose-lose situation. Because he even tried to kill himself, but he couldn't die. Because when he looked at the mirror, there's no white, like, bright light around him. That means he's not meant to die. Mm. Like, the original guy who owns the white noise, his half of his face is melted because he tried to shoot himself. Oh. Then he was sent to prison, but he didn't die because that's not his time yet.
To die. Okay.
You know, not time to die. So I don't know. But when it comes to the Ahmet, I won't do anything, you know?
Yeah, because the way I see how Ahmet does his ability, using an avatar or using someone, using her power, using the cane and some kind of time tick, like wing.
Yeah.
To decide whether, because you will never know. But like how he did to the old lady. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've been good my whole life. I make good choices. It's like, I'm sorry. This is the will of Ahmet.
Yeah.
And then her life was sucked out. I was like, oh man. She probably picked her because she's already like about to kick the bucket.
Yeah,
she's
about to die. Yeah. Yeah.
What else do I got? I think that I got. That's all about it. Mm-hmm. I got none.
Yeah. It's still that the show is still a little confusing, and I think they still have a lot of things to unravel and you know, show us what's about to happen and what's gonna happen in the show, but for the most part they're giving us a little bit here and there. I mean, granted, it's just the second episode of the whole show, so they have a lot more things to give us. Other than that, if you enjoyed this podcast, or if you enjoyed this episode, or if you didn't enjoy this episode, let us know. Please comment down below. If you agree with a lot of things that we said and a lot of the predictions that I said, even the hot takes, let us know. If you agree with that and, you know, like, blew your mind, it's like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense, and I don't think I agree with that point, or I agree with that point, just let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Comment down below and subscribe if you haven't. Tell your friends about this, and let's enjoy more of this Moon Knight TV show, Disney Plus.
Yeah,
we'll see you guys later. Thank you so much for watching this. We'll see you guys. Bye.
Leets.